Blog Talk Radio.
We'll meet again. Don't know when. Don't know when. But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Everybody loved that singer. She was so popular during World War II. A lot of things were popular during World War II. Cinema was very popular. People loved the movies. People loved the radio, and they loved Vera Lynn. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. I want to share with you D-Day. The sun was just coming up over the Normandy coast at about 5 a.m., on June 6, 1944, D-Day. The Allied Native Navies, Canadian, British, America, had brought a huge invasion fleet from England to France in total darkness. For men on the ships, first light showed the black shapes of other nearby vessels. For the Germans on shore, the dawn revealed a vast armada poised to invade occupied France. The military planners had given Canada a major role on D-Day to take one of the five designated beaches where Allied forces were to land to begin the liberation of Europe from Nazi Germany. The Americans had Utah and Omaha beaches in the west. Then came the British at Gold, then the Canadians at Juno Beach, and finally the British at Sword on the east. The greatest seaborne invasion in history was aimed at 80 kilometers of mostly flat, sandy beach along the Normandy coast, west of the Seine River, east of the jutting Cotentin Peninsula. Canada's objective was right in the middle. There were about 155,000 soldiers, 5,000 ships and landing craft, 50,000 vehicles and 11,000 planes set for the coming battle. For Canada, 14,000 soldiers were to land on the beaches. Another 450 were to drop behind enemy lines by parachute or glider. The Royal Canadian Navy supplied ships and about 10,000 sailors. Lancaster bombers and Spitfire fighters from the Royal Canadian Air Force supported the invasion. Shortly after midnight, three airborne divisions, the U.S. 82nd and 101st, and the British 6th, numbering over 23,000 men, take off to secure the flanks of the beaches. En route are myriad naval vessels and landing craft. On their way to France, they rendezvous in the channel at Piccadilly Circus. Throughout the night, positions on the invasion beaches are bombed, although many miss their target. Corporal Maxwell Moffat was 24 years old. He belonged to the U.S. 29th Division, 115th Regiment. I was a medic in the second wave. Being a medic was dangerous work. Of the 96 men in the medical corps of my regiment, half of them died on D-Day. When our landing craft beached, the Germans had zeroed their guns on the ramp. I was the last man and thought about staying aboard and letting it take me back to England, but I felt I couldn't do that to the boys. I wasn't going to go down the ramp when men were getting shot, so I dived over the side since I could swim pretty well. God must have been looking out for me. The landing craft backed onto a mine and exploded. If I'd been on it, I'd have been dead. On the beach, the first wave had really taken a beating. It was pitiful, but I was told to get off the beach and let the Navy medics care for the wounded. I didn't want to leave my friends who had been hit, but I ran like a rabbit. We didn't get far inland, about 1,000 yards. The Germans were putting up heavy resistance. We lost lots of men to snipers, including another medic who I had to fix up. The Germans climbed trees to shoot us. We weren't used to that, but you learn pretty quick when you're under fire. I had to be on my knees to fix people. You couldn't do it lying down. To make myself less of a target, I dragged the wounded behind a hedge. We came to a little church, and there were snipers firing from the steeples. We called in artillery from the ships, and three shells screamed overhead like freight trains. The church came down. A lot of the people who got hit, you couldn't do anything for. Lots of them got hit in the head. I did fix up about 10 of our guys on D-Day. One had been hit by a mortar, and his foot was hanging off. The heat sears the wound so they don't bleed too much. He lives near me, and I still see him sometimes, and he thanks me. A lot of men died on D-Day. Very, very, very bloody battle. A lot of them did not even make it to the shores from the landing craft. They were shot, literally, in the water by German snipers. I have something I want you to listen to.
Now you see me.
And I'm just bringing it up. Here we are.
The first time he made this trip, Russ Burroughs didn't need help with a ramp. In fact, none of the veterans would have even used the railing. But that first trip was 70 years ago, the day they landed on the beaches of Dieppe. They returned this summer with a sense of debt to the friends they lost so long ago.
I come back, I feel I owe it to the people I left here. And I left that.
The veterans know they were lucky. They've known it for 7 decades. So many men died in just a few hours, and somehow they survived. Each of them remembers that day with words like slaughter, massacre, and hell.
Hell. No, couldn't describe it any better.
It was hell because they were all on the cliffs, the Germans, and they're like shooting pigeons.
I can remember that pier there distinctly, you know, and we were right in there.
This was very likely the last trip the veterans of Dieppe will make. Each of the men is in their mid-90s. As we lose them, the challenge is to not lose their stories, their perspectives on what they lived through.
You always feel like you're going to be shot, you see. You never expect to be a prisoner of war. And that was the part that was, I was not afraid. It was wonderful. That's the fact that I wasn't afraid at all. I said, well, here it is. We came for this. Let's get it over with.
This return to Dieppe wasn't made by the veterans alone. They shared it with serving members of Canada's military. There were also, at just about every event, Canadians who made the trip over for the anniversary.
It's unbelievable.
Because of what it meant to their own families.
This is my brother. He died in 23 years old.
I'm here for my dad, and he was wounded and taken prisoner at Portville, and he was prisoner for 32 months. 17 of those months he was in shackles, but he was never lost sight of how fortunate he was to come home, and others were not.
This was a stop the veterans looked forward to, just outside town, the Canadian cemetery. That so many men were struck down, most of them in just one morning, is hard to wrap your mind around. Well, it's a little easier if you're in the cemetery with people who knew the buried, people who remember Lefty McBride and how much he loved to dance.
Yeah, the main thing about Lefty is he was a good dancer, and the police girls loved Peter Burton.
He has not been forgotten. Nor has the sacrifice of those who lived. Russ Olive made the trip to remember his father, Bill.
He made it, taken prisoner of war. And that is his prisoner of war tag, Stalagate B. And I wear it every day.
The people of Dieppe said thank you with a parade along the Esplanade, applauding the veterans right along the beach where so much Canadian blood was spilled. It's a very different place today, and remembering the horror in Dieppe in a way isn't easy. When this is all you've ever known, this is hard to believe. Mike Armstrong, Global News, Dieppe, France.
And it was a horrifying experience. I cannot even imagine what those men experienced that day in Dieppe. Juno Beach, that was the Canadians on D-Day. That was on D-Day, June 6, 1944, Operation Overlord. That was the long-awaited invasion of Nazi-occupied Europe. It began from the U.S., Britain, and Canada landing on the coast of Normandy, like I have shared with you. 14,000 young Canadians stormed Juno Beach on D-Day. Their courage, determination, and self-sacrifice are immediate reasons for the success in those critical hours. And the fighting they endured was fierce and it was frightening. The price we paid was high. The battles for the beachhead cost 340 Canadian lives and another 574 were wounded. The site at Normandy, Juno Beach. It's a tribute to the men and the women who served in the Canadian Army during D-Day and World War II. We owe them our freedom and we owe them our gratitude. We are taking that for granted, ladies and gentlemen. Do not take your freedom for granted and never forget the sacrifices of the men and women made that day for us. God bless them all. And I also want you to think of the men and women who are serving today, far away, overseas. I want you to remember them. I want you to honor the memories of those that we lost, not only during World War II, but throughout all our wars, and those we continue to lose today. We have a tradition up here in Canada We have the Highway 401. It's now officially called the Highway of Heroes. And that is because when our fallen are repatriated back to Canada, they are transported down the Highway 401. And we stand on bridges. We wear our red, and we fly the Canadian flag to honor those men and women as they are brought home.
Gather here in any kind of weather, any time of year, watching for the headlights down the 401. Respect and dedication for our bravest ones. Hearts filled with sorrow and with pride as the fallen pass below. On the final ride along the highway of heroes we stand, here to show our gratitude from right across the land. Standing on the bridges faithfully, because you keep our true north strong and free. Soccer moms, firefighters, Legion members too, school kids and teachers, folks like me and you, standing at attention with the maple leaf held high, a grassroots benediction for the ones who die. You're all our daughters, all our sons, make us proud Canadians. Along the highway of heroes we stand, in a show of gratitude from right across the land. Standing on the bridges faithfully, because you keep our true north strong and free.
On Canada's role during D-Day, because, well, I'm a Canadian. but I truly do want to honor all the men and women in all the Allied forces and all of them who were involved in this historic day in history. I want to share with you a writing by Roland R. Roos. He was an American soldier that was there that day. He's a D-Day soldier. He remembers. As I walk into this field of valor in the early morning hours, I think of the many fine and brave soldiers who lie beneath the ground with multitudes of painted crosses to mark their sacred graves. Thoughts slowly fill my mind. June 6, 1944. I remember only so well. The scare and the terror of that day remains etched within my heart. I try to forget the screams of death that passed before my eyes, but the scenes remain so vivid and clear, even after all these years. D-Day resides so deep in me, there's nothing I can do to rid me of the dreams which haunt me in the twilight of my years. The sand, the water, the blood mixed with the sound of death caused me to pray to God to forgive my mortal sins. I remember following my sergeant to the water on that early misty morn. Just as we reached Utah Beach, a bullet struck his helmet, spinning him around, showing me a bloody stump that used to be his head. To this young, innocent country boy who had just turned 19 2 days before, within seconds, leaving me no other choice, I suddenly became a man. As I raced past his lifeless shell, knowing at any moment my life could end as well, somehow I survived through this violent hell and went on to fight in other battles until the bitter end. Every so often, I make this trip to see my fallen comrades, and each time as I return, I leave a piece of me between the blood-soaked sands. As I approach my 81st year, I know this will be my last trip to see my fallen friends. So I'll walk slowly through this hallowed field and say a final goodbye to all those gallant soldiers who gave their lives for God and country as only heroes can. Roland R. Roos wrote that in 2006. Thank you, sir. There are a lot of soldiers inspired through writing. There were also a lot of soldiers who never talked about the war. My father was a veteran. He enlisted in the Canadian Army when he was 14 years old. He was finally found out when he was shot in Italy, when he was 16, he was immediately sent home. He reenlisted when he turned 18. My father was a World War II veteran. My grandfather was stationed in England, a World War II veteran. My stepfather served in the Navy, not during World War II, but he was an enlisted man. I come from a long line of heroes. I'm very proud to be the daughter of a World War II veteran. And I thank him. And I think of him every single day. And I want to honor his memory today as well. Keep moving, lads. Keep moving. Don't huddle on the beach. Don't make yourselves a target. Pull those guns up. There to reach. Keep moving, lads. Keep moving. There's the seawall over there. Keep moving, lads. Keep moving. Don't falter or despair. Don't look at comrades falling around you everywhere. Keep moving, lads. Keep moving. We can take this on the chin. Keep moving and keep praying before those guns, they zero in. It's quiet here. So quiet. Standing on this hill. But if I stand here too much longer, my eyes will fill with tears. Looking down, I'm there again on the beach, just but down below, far different to that morning that I remember. That beach, it was hell on earth, where no man should ever go. I remember I was down there. I should know. But I don't cry now. And don't you cry, dear old soldier. That was many years ago. There are 40 of us waiting in this little LCA. We sailors and these soldiers were taking in today. They came aboard our mothership now several years ago. They're growing very pale, and the strains begin to show. They're only boys, and the most of them, 18 to 23. For some of them, tomorrow is a day that they will never see. I can't promise we'll make it, lads, but I'll do my best. You'll see. I'll remember you, you young soldiers, this day in Normandy. God bless you, lads, and keep you safe. We'll meet again one day. This is it then, lads. Keep your heads down. Away all boats, away. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining me today in helping me commemorate D-Day, June 6, 1944. If you see a soldier who is active today, shake his hand and thank him. If you meet a veteran, shake his hand and thank him for what he did. We owe our gratitude to the men and women who don the uniform and fight for us and ensure our freedoms. The world is a very dangerous place, but we can rest our heads easy knowing that there are people, a brave strain of people, who go in and do the dirty work we don't have to worry about. They are keeping us free. They are keeping us safe. We sleep warm in our beds at night because they fight for us. Have a great afternoon, everybody. I'll see you back here on Monday.
He ain't heavy. He's my brother. The soldiers.
Don't you know? Don't you know that he's in heaven?
wonderful. Great stuff on that debut album, Coming Home.